Santa Train brings in a record number of passengers this year. And Ketchikan Shipyard's Alaska-class ferry project will create new jobs, but does Southern Southeast have the right people to fill those positions? It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. It was a record-breaking year for Skagway's Santa Train. The free holiday event attracted nearly 600 passengers eager to meet Santa and ride on the White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. 5-year-old Isaac Powell is the first child in line to meet Mr. Claus.
I came up here just because for the Santa Train.
Isaac's family is one of many that traveled from Whitehorse to Skagway. Before the train ride, each child gets to sit on Santa's lap and tell him what they want for Christmas.
I'm going to say I want a train.
You want a train? You want a toy train?
Yeah, a toy train.
For kids like Ashlyn Johnson, this event has been their first opportunity to ride a train. She's excited about that, but she's more giddy about meeting Santa.
Well, I can ask him what I want for Christmas this year. You know, like, the Zoomer dog that, like, moves around and acts like a real dog? I wanted the Husky one.
Skagway Mayor Mark Schaefer is standing near the railroad with his great-niece. They're waiting for Santa to arrive.
Well, the Santa Train event's an event that White Pass and Yukon Railroad puts on to bring Santa to town to see the children, and then to give a train ride up to Clifton.
Clifton is 8.5 miles away. The train moves very slowly for the ride, so it takes about an hour round trip. Skagway historian Carl Mulvihill remembers the Santa Train running as far back as 1961. The railroad was originally built for and used by gold miners in the late 1800s.
Most of them came back from their gold rush, broke with no gold, went back home, but they had a wonderful adventure.
Now, during the summer, the train takes tens of thousands of tourists on a scenic ride over White Pass, but this is the only time it's used during the winter. The train's crew waits outside the gift shop. Pete Griffin is the conductor and Spencer Morgan is the brakeman.
Well, we have 14 cars today, split up in two groups. 7 cars for naughty and 7 for nice.
As a matter of fact, the naughty cars are completely full right now.
They're actually divided into adult and family cars. Once every child gets a chance to talk to Santa, passengers start boarding the train, and slowly, slowly, it starts rolling. The windows are fogged up, and parents and kids wipe circles in the condensation so they can see the mountains as the train chugs along. Railroad Marketing Director Allison Haas says this is her favorite part.
I love it when Santa busts into a car and like the kids see him coming in and they're like, oh, it's Santa!
Santa!
When the ride is over, Haas says the number of passengers this year grew by more than 100 from 2013.
We had 590 people on board, which last year was a record for us at 476. So this year was huge at 590 people in 14 cars. So next year we're going to have to do something different, maybe 2 departures or something to accommodate everyone because it just grows and grows every year.
Haas says Santa is worn out by the end of the train ride, but he enjoys coming to Skagway.
He's like, this is the best feeling. He's like, I love this day. I feel full. I feel full of joy and happiness just because it's just such a fun day, everyone coming together and riding and enjoying the season.
Shannon Farr came to Skagway from Juneau with her husband and young son. It's their 3rd year riding the Santa Train.
It's very magical. I mean, I feel like a little kid, you know, coming here, and it just brings back those memories of a child. So I want him to remember this forever.
Farr says they'll be back next December. Riding the Santa Train has become a holiday tradition for their family. The Skagway Public Works Department has stopped adding chlorine to the water supply after innocuous bacteria were detected earlier this month. Routine water tests on December 10th detected coliform in the city water supply. Coliform is not harmful themselves, but can indicate more harmful bacteria may form in the water. The city flushed the area of the water supply where coliforms were detected and added chlorine. Skagway City Manager Scott Hahn said today that follow-up tests were negative for coliform and testing will continue, but the city has stopped adding chlorine to the water at this time. Mosquito Lake residents are holding a meeting Wednesday evening to form a plan for the Mosquito Lake School building. The school was closed this year due to low attendance. The Haynesboro has maintained it at the bare minimum and is assessing its value to consider selling it. When residents ask to use the building like a community center with services like yoga classes and open gym, the borough told them that couldn't happen because it's not in this year's budget. At a meeting last week, Mosquito Lake and Highway residents talked with borough representatives about their options for the school building. Borough Manager Dave Sosa said if the residents come up with a strong plan to use the building as a community center, it could be included in next year's budget. That would need the Borough Assembly's approval. Other options include forming a service area or imposing an additional tax on area property owners to pay for the operation of the building. The meeting is Wednesday at 6 p.m. in the Klahini Valley Fire Department. One of the unexpected benefits from Ketchikan Vigor Alaska's successful bid to build two new ferries for the state is more jobs. Shipyard officials told the Wrangell Chamber of Commerce recently that the work will add 70 to 100 new employees. The big question is, though, whether Ketchikan has the right people to fill those positions. KRBD's Layla Carey has more.
Create more jobs is a mantra in Ketchikan, but the problem with more jobs at the shipyard is workers there need special skills. Yard Superintendent Troy Tacker has worked at the Ketchikan shipyard for 12 years and says it's only recently that the operation reached the point where it could build a ferry or two.
12 years ago, if you'd asked me if we could do this when it was still Alaska Shipping Dry Dock, I'd have said no. Because we didn't have labor. We didn't have skilled labor.
Tacker says that changed after shipyard officials started going into the local schools, talking to students about potential career opportunities in the marine industry.
If we're going to operate a shipyard and we're going to build Alaska ships by Alaskans, we got to go find them. We got to make them excited. We got to make them want to come here.
Tacker says they also talked with officials at the local University of Alaska Southeast Campus, Ketchikan Indian Community, and others to help train young recruits. Now, UAS offers various courses specific to the marine industry, and Vigor foots the bill for employees who take advantage of those classes. The shipyard has its own training center on site to teach welding to beginners and to help more experienced welders reach the next certification level. Tacker says those training programs are a cost that can only benefit the shipyard in the long run. He cites one young employee who is the new night supervisor for the steel section of the ferry project.
And I hired Ben as a laborer, I think it was 7 years ago, straight out of K-High. He didn't know nothing, about shipyard work. And now he's going to be the steel superintendent for a $100 million project.
Tacker says it's not only Ketchikan High School graduates who can get jobs at the shipyard. They hire young employees from Metlakatla, Prince of Wales Island, Wrangell, Petersburg, and elsewhere in Southeast. Tacker says it makes sense to train a local workforce because otherwise the shipyard would have to hire from down south.
And why not teach our kids to make, these kids can make $60,000 a year. You know, it's pretty good. It's a good reason to stay home. I want every kid that wants to stay there or stay in this community, in these islands, to work with us, period. And they don't have to know nothing. We will teach them everything they need to know.
Doug Ward is director of shipyard development. He says the effort to recruit and train locally shows in the demographics of Ketchikan Shipyard. He says the local operation is on average 8 to 10 years younger than the nationwide average for shipyards.
When Troy says we've got a great workforce, that's why, because we've got youth. They've been empowered to do great big jobs, and they're doing a great job of doing them.
In addition to building two new state ferries, Ketchikan Shipyard has ongoing projects involving the state ferries Kennecott and LeConte, and it just finished some repair work on the state ferry Taku. The shipyard also is working on several private contracts. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.